Good afternoon.
Let's have Brother Michael come up for prayer requests. Please stand.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. I believe Little Mercy Bunnett has a birthday today, so I'm going to sing that. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had.
Prayer request from Brother Aaron. Says, please pray for Brother John LaFontaine. He's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And also pray for Sister Linda Jackson. She's recovering from surgery. She's having a lot of pain. So let's pray the Lord takes that pain away. So pray for my mother and grandma. They're both sick after our trip out of town. So pray for them. All the ones popping for prayer requests, raise your hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this afternoon, Lord. Let's pray for the sermon, Lord, and the word coming, Lord. Pray for these requests, Lord. You can still take away pain, Lord. Be the same, Lord, always, Lord. Thank you for your word. Some for us to cling to, Lord, in times of need, Lord. So pray for those in pain in the hospital. Those who are sick, Lord, just heal them, Lord. Take everything away, Lord. Thank you for all things, Lord. Lead the service. Lead the songs, Lord. Lead the specials, Lord. Just lead us and guide us. Thank you for all things. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's sing Where Could I Go, page 170. And after that, let's have Sister Anna and Rachel's class come up to sing.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. And striving alone to face temptation, so where could I go but to the Lord?
away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is my flow that wakes me white as snow.
Sing the chorus on number 470, I Am Blessed, as Sister Monica's class comes up for their special.
I am blessed. I am to judge right from wrong, temperance to control your tongue, faith that patience to your faith, godliness means to be like God, brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place in the headstone, which is love. God is love. Holy Spirit, welding this together, building the perfect church, for the capstone to cap it off. First pour your foundation, faith, then add virtues, power, and strength. Knowledge to judge right from wrong, temperance to control your tongue. Fit that patience to your faith, godliness means to be like God. Brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place in the headstone, which is love. God is love. Holy Spirit, welding this together, building the perfect church for the capstone to cap it off.
Let's sing Be It Unto Me as Bella gets ready for a special. Let's continue the course, Be It Unto Me, as Brother Boyd's class comes up for their special.
And I agree. feel the
Let's have Brother Lauren come up and take the offering.
Lord, we come before you. I ask you to put your blessing on this offering, Lord, and also to just bless the service and help the minister be able to speak through him and just guide us and keep us in your word. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. As he takes the offering, let's sing Mercy Rewrote My Life on page 629. Let's go ahead and change the order of service and sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we bring Brother Nathaniel out. Let's stand.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Holy, 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 holy many's desire that is this evening is to see him. Amen. If we can just get ourselves out of the way and look through his eyes, we can see him this evening. It's a privilege and an honor to be with you again this evening. We had such a wonderful time of fellowship with the young people last night, and I just thank Brother Sam and Brother Wade for the opportunity to come and stand behind the pulpit here and speak to young and old alike, and just hope that something can be said this evening that will be a blessing. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3? Again, I bring greetings from my dad, my pastor, Brother Joe Green, there in Ruth, North Carolina. And we just, again, thankful for the opportunity to be here. And we love each and every one of you like family. We've pretty much grew up around here with Brother Wade and Brother Sam and the church here. So we're all a big part of God's family this evening. Amen. We'll begin reading in verse 13 that says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand behind this sacred desk this evening, Lord, we just ask that you come down and move me out of the way, Lord, and speak through my lips. I'm just a microphone this evening, Father. But God, I ask you, use me just one more time this evening to speak to this portion of your bride. God, we've read the scripture, Lord, and if that's all we read and said amen, we'd have a jubilee time this evening. But Father, as we delve into these things that you've laid upon our heart, God, I ask that just something be said that will be a blessing to this portion of your bride, Father. And God, as we, at the end of the service, as we stack arms and stack our Bibles, Lord, and go our separate ways, God, may it be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Lord. Let something be said that will burn up within our hearts, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. If you'll bear with me, I want to read that again from the Amplified Version. Beginning in verse 13, that says, "I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Verse 14, "I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward." That is my goal in life. That is my one aspiration, as it says, is to find him, to make it home this evening.
Right.
He's calling us. He's calling us home. As Brother Sam said this morning, he's calling us home. It's not going to be long. I was listening to that sermon last night after we had the Bible study. I was listening to Anointed Ones at the End Time. And at the beginning of the service, Brother Branham says, and this is in 1965, I believe, he says, "I'm thankful for this service because it could be the very last one, but I feel it's coming soon." And if that was 60 years ago, how much more closer home are we this evening? For the next little bit, I would like to speak on a little thought called getting better at forgetting, or pressing on, if I would put a subtitle to it. We want to look at how we need to forget our past and press towards the future. We don't need to dwell on the things of the past that have bound us for so long, that have kept us held back for so long. But we need to let go of those things and press on towards the high calling. Oftentimes, after we've had a big move of God in our life, a healing or a deliverance, or he's done something for us, then that's when Satan comes and sits on your shoulder and says, Did that really happen? Was that for you? Are you sure? Was that supposed to be for you, or was it for your neighbor? He tries to talk you out of it, Brother Dick. But he can't talk you out of that healing you're looking for this evening. He can't talk you out of that deliverance that he's promised you. This book here is full of promises. And he can't take them back once he's promised you. He's promised us everything we have need of right here in these pages. But we have to make it real in our hearts. We have to have that measure of faith that he's given us. Like I said last night, he's took the guesswork out of it for us. He's done all the legwork. All we have to do is believe. And all things are possible to them that believe. In the message, Blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham says, "No matter how sick you are, how bad you are, how many trials you've had, when he said, 'Whosoever will, let him come,' he meant you." That's right. "How am I going to get it, Brother Branham? The doctor said I can't." I can't get well. Throw it aside. Let it go. We've got his attention tonight. He's passing this way. He's been here every night this week. He's here now, and he'll be anywhere where two or three are gathered in his name. I'll be there in their midst. Whatever they agree upon and ask, they shall receive it. We've got his attention now. He's moving through the building. How many came with him this evening?
Amen.
All right, there's more than two or three that have agreed, so he's here. If nobody else but me and Brother Sam agreed, he'd still be here. So he's moving through the building now just to meet your needs. He's moving through each row, each seat, looking for what need that you have. He's here with open arms and open ears to listen and hear what you have need of tonight. And it don't fall on deaf ears. Maybe it won't happen tonight. Maybe it won't happen tomorrow. Maybe it's next week or next year. But if you're praying and believing and sincere, he's bound to listen. He's bound to make it possible because his word says so. Ask any one thing in my name. That's what the scripture says, right? Amen. The word past means ago, just gone, or elapsed. Having existed or taken place in a period before the present. Bygone. We've all heard the saying, let bygones be bygones. Let it go this evening. This is real simple, but I'm not preaching anything new. I'm just stirring up your minds in the way of remembrance tonight. I'm not preaching any new gospel. I'm not preaching anything that Brother Sam, Brother Wade, or any of these other brothers would preach to you. Just a simple encouragement this evening. The word future means the condition or situation of someone or something in the time that will come. My dad preaches a message says that your condition is not your conclusion. Whatever battle you're in right now, or whatever battle you're coming out of, or whatever battle you're fixing to face, it's not your conclusion. If you're a true born child of God, your conclusion is that you will overcome, because we were made victorious, overcomers in his sight, not our own sight. Because if we look at our own selves, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything. We can't cure a headache. We can't get ourselves out of a financial bond, whatever it may be. But if we look to him and look through his eyes, like I said earlier, all things are possible. Oftentimes, we find ourselves listening to Satan's whisper. And before I get ahead of myself, I'm just going to put this right here and see who has faith. It's a $5 bill. Young and old alike, who has faith? I like it. But then as soon as he takes that blessing, see that he had more faith than all the rest of you to come get that. He had faith to stand up out of his seat and come get that. But as soon as he comes and gets that, here comes Satan right now. Now, you know he's got a 3-hour drive back home. He may need that $5 bill for gas. He may need that to get a cheeseburger on the way home because he's got a pregnant wife and she's hungry. She's going to kill me for that, but it's okay. But you see, he's not giving up. He's not giving me that $5 back. And that's the way we need to be. Now, this may be silly tonight, but you'll remember it. That's the way we need to be. We don't need to say, well, I guess you're right. He may need that. Just don't agree with the devil. Take your blessing. Take your blessing and run with it. Stick it in your pocket like he did. I've never seen anybody move that fast before in my life. Stuck a thing in his pocket real quick because he knew I was going to try to take it back from him. But see, he had the faith to come up here and get that. That's all it takes is that little bit of faith to come and get what you have need of from God. Now, that's just $5. What about eternal life? What about your healing? What about your salvation? What about the salvation that you're seeking for one of your family members? It's the same thing. It's that easy. That easy. Amen. Why do we listen to that voice of reason? Brother Sam's talking about that reason this morning. Once we start reasoning with ourselves and with Satan, oftentimes we find ourselves back at square one. We've lost what we got because we start to reason and we start to doubt and we start to disbelieve everything that has been given to us. Just like the miracle of my wife being pregnant. What if I said, well, and I'm telling you, the devil started fighting me as soon as we found out. He'd jump on my shoulder and say, well, What if something's wrong? What if he has the same birth defects that you had? What if he has the problems with his kidneys like you had when you were born and this and that? And I look at him and I say, I was a miracle baby. I said, God called me, God prophesied to my grandpa that I would be here. God told my wife and myself through Brother Ron Spencer that we would have a child. You can't take that away from me. Ain't no devil in hell can take that away from me. You can't take the experiences that I've had away from me. Brother John, they can't take the experience you had away from you. No matter how many naysayers there is, no matter how many doubters there are, it didn't happen to you. A little song says, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I was there when he came down on that Friday night in 2015 and filled me with the Holy Ghost and turned my life around. Nobody, but the building was full of people, but that night was for me. That night was for me, and nobody else can take that away from me. Nobody else can even try. You can fight me to the death, and I'll tell you that that is what happened. Because it happened to me, it was my experience. Don't look back where you came from. Look to where you're going. Don't look back at the life of sin that you were in. Don't look back at the times when you were down and out and thought nobody loved you, and as Brother Jewel says, has a case of the wowsy, wowsy woos. Don't look back at those things, but look forward to where we're going. I don't believe it's much longer, friends, till we'll be in the presence of Jehovah. Till we'll be fellowshipping with Brother Branham and the different ones that have gone on. It won't be long till I'll be sitting there talking with my grandpa, telling him, thank you for looking over that banister and telling me to keep running, to keep going, keep the faith. Thank you for, you may not have been on earth with me, but thank you for that encouragement. That every time I look at his picture when I walk into the church there at home, I can say he's there looking at me over the banister of heaven and telling me to press on. Both my grandpas actually telling me to press on. Brother Dan Daisley, all the rest of them that have gone on, they're there telling each one of us this evening, young people, press on. Press on. It won't be very long. We look at Lot's wife and the consequences that she had for looking back. Genesis 19 and verse 26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. That was the one thing that they said not to do. Don't look back. But she was too heady and high-minded in her social gatherings and her fashion of the day and things like that, that she didn't want to leave that behind. She wanted to turn around and look back behind her. And that's oftentimes how we get. We start to look back at the things we came from because, well, we had fun back then. Or we thought we were having fun back then. I thought I was having fun when I'd go out drinking on Friday and Saturday night. I thought I had fun when I'd sit around with my buddies and smoke a cigarette and cough my lungs up and then try to go to church on Sunday morning and act like I was a Christian just because of who my daddy was, just because of who my grandpa was. But that's not the case.
Amen.
You don't have fun until you have Jesus in your life, and then you start having the best, the most fun. I've met the most people in my life since in the past 3 or 4 years. I've met more people and got more friendships than all the drinking buddies and all the smoking buddies and all the running around and carousing buddies that I used to have in high school. Why? Because we share that same goal, that same mindset. There we go. I knew it would come to me in a minute. I'm a little tired this evening. But we share that same focus because we're all trying to make heaven our home. We're not trying to get that next high or that next buzz. We're all focusing on getting home. In the message, Jehovah Jireh, number 3, prophet of God tells us, and notice another while we're on it, Lot. Jesus said himself, remember Lot's wife. If the word isn't so important, if the reasoning is all right, when that angel said to Lot and his family, go to Zoar, but don't look back. And Lot's wife, on a little insignificant thing, is to turn around and look back. But it was contrary to the word. She turned to a pillar of salt. And that's the thing that we have to realize, that these things that we're doing looking back is contrary to what he tells us. We read here at the beginning, Paul's talking to the Philippians. I'm having all kinds of trouble tonight. Lord help me. He pressed toward the mark. He didn't look behind him. He forgot the things But he remembered what his goal was. He remembered where he was headed. He didn't let those things that were behind him hold him down. The other scripture says, and I think it's in here, but we'll quote it now. I lay aside the things of the world that does so easily beset me. And not just set them down so that way when things get tough, I can go pick them up again. Lay aside means to put out, cast away, and don't go back to those things anymore. Cast them away from you where they're not in your reach anymore. Because I can tell you right now, these worldly girls and this drinking and stuff that goes on, it don't get you anywhere. You can't run back to the girl that said she'll be there for you anytime, any day, because she's already moved on to the next one. And the drinking buddies have all went on and found a new drinking buddy since you've been gone. You can't look back to those things. You can't count on those things. But there is one true friend that you can always count on to see, and that's Jesus Christ. They talked about it this morning, I think, or maybe it was last night, the name of Jesus. What other name should men might be saved but in the name of Jesus? Everything that you have need of, all you have to do is call on His name. Everything that you have need of, you can call mama, you can call daddy, but they can only help you so far. Your Heavenly Father is who you need to be reaching out to. It's who you need to call on in your time of desperation. Like I said last night, I gave my testimony. I got to that point of desperation where I knew daddy couldn't help me, where I knew mama couldn't help me, where I even knew that my fiance at the time couldn't help me. I could only call on Jesus to help me, because without Him, I wouldn't be standing here this evening. No doubt without Him, many of you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting this evening. If you keep looking back to your problems, eventually you won't be able to look forward. You've let your past affect your future. Everything you've done in the past is in the past for a reason. Like I said last night when my wife and I were praying for a child, and Brother Ron pulled us aside and spoke, gave us a word from the Lord, his prayer said, the past is the past for a reason. Don't let it affect your future. In so many words. And that was exactly what was happening with us. We were letting our past affect our future. But thank God on that night, we let go of the past, Brother Donnie. And now she's 2 months pregnant with that miracle child. And we thank God for that. I know you've heard it a million times already this weekend, but I'm excited about that. So I'm going to tell you again. Stop holding on to the things of the past that Satan uses to keep you bound. Don't let it affect your future. Press forward. God has forgiven you and forgotten it. Why can't we do the same? Oftentimes, we've all heard the saying, forgive and forget. But as humans, sometimes we forgive, but we can't forget it. We won't let it go. We want to hold that grudge, or we want to hold that place in our hearts for a brother or a sister that's maybe said something wrong or said something kind of out of the way that rubbed us the wrong way and they didn't even mean to. But bless God, I'm not going to talk to them at church anymore. I'm not going to sit beside them in the fellowship hall anymore. I'll forgive them, but I won't forget what they did to me. That's not good, church. That's not the way it needs to be. If God, who we're supposed to be like, we're supposed to be Christ, we're Christians, we're Christ-like. If we're supposed to be Christ-like, Brother Sam, how can we forgive and not forget? He forgave us of all of our sins, not just backstabbing a neighbor or bad-mouthing a neighbor. He forgave us of all our sins. He put them deep down in the sea of forgetfulness and put up a sign that says, no fishing. But here comes old devil. He throws in his fishing rod, Brother Terrence. And he starts to reel in one of your sins. But you know, his line ain't strong enough. He ain't got no monocarbon or no fluorocarbon on his line. He's just got some cheap old 5-weight from Walmart, so to speak. He gets it just about the time where he's fixing to bring it up in your face again, and that line snaps. And there it goes back down where it came from. Never to be remembered again. He tries his best to throw it up in our face this evening. But he can't do it. Why? Because the blood. Because the blood of the Lamb, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I want each and every one of you this evening, whatever you have need of, testify. Even you know it's already been bought and paid for on Calvary. By His stripes, you were healed. You wear bracelets. I got one now. It says, by His stripes, I'm healed. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Remember that. That's pretty much the same thing I just said. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So whatever you have need of tonight, testify that it's already done. Sing a song at home. I don't know if y'all sing it here. God, it's already done. It's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. Amen. In the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, Brother Branham says, now a man that's really got his face set towards heaven, no matter what takes place here on earth, he's still got his face set towards heaven. His friends may forsake him. His family may forsake him. His pastor may forsake him. But there is one that won't forsake him. That's God. And when your mind is made up, I like that. Daniel had burnt bridges, all the bridges behind him, and he wasn't planning on going back anymore. He wasn't watching his back trail. He was looking, forsaking those things which are in the past. He pressed on towards the mark of the high calling. That's what we should be doing. That's what the church should be doing. That's what Spoken Word Church should be doing this evening. That's what the bride should be doing this evening. I like to make it personal, though, wherever I'm at. That's what Spoken Word Church should be doing this evening. It's pressing forward and not looking back at where we came from. Because if we look back to where we came from, we're reminded of what dirty, rotten scoundrels we are. But if we look forward and look through the blood like He does, then we're white as snow. There's nothing that can be held against us. You go to court for a speeding ticket or something, and they've got proof that Brother Terrence was speeding. Don't mean to call you out. I hope you don't speed. But he's got a written ticket that the officer gave him, and the judge has a copy of it. He has proof. But when we go to court as Christians, the whole court system is stacked in our favor. Amen. He's the jury, He's the judge, and He's our lawyer. You know the song, When Mercy Stepped In and Pleaded My Case. There's no fault against me. Now, you may know deep down that there's stuff that you've done that you're not proud of. But it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what the past was. When the judge looks at your case, he bangs the gavel down, and he says, pardoned. My goodness, that ought to make a Baptist shout this evening. If you go to reasoning and saying things like, I don't know if I'm ready to let it go, or I'll let it go one day, it'll never happen. I think Brother Sam hit on it this morning about, well, I got to wait till I stop smoking, or I got to wait till I stop drinking before I can become a Christian.
Come on, brother.
Nope. I still smoke all I want to. I still drink all I want to. I still run around on my wife all I want to. I still gamble all I want to. I see these young people looking at me like, are you serious? But I thank God He took that want to out of me. When I gave my life over to Him again, on that night of August of 2015, all those want-tos left me, and the only want-to I want to do is serve Him. In the restoration of the bride tree in 1962, if the officer was going to take the fellow that stole your property and was going to take him to court, and you keep pulling him back, well, I don't know just whether he should do this or not. He'll never get him there. Just let him go. If you keep reasoning with the devil, or keep saying, well, I can't do this till I quit smoking, or I can't do this till I quit doing this or doing that, it ain't never going to happen. You might as well just hang it up. Amen. But if you come to Him, He'll take all that uncleanness out of you and clean you up. Just like He used the illustration this morning, I'll use it in a little different way. The Cockman family sings a song about a cup found out in the barnyard or in the dirt somewhere. And they take it and he brings it in the house. And he cleans it up. And he puts it on the shelf for service. But if we're just sitting there on the shelf, we're not doing any good.
That's right.
But But once we get took off that shelf and he fills us and puts us into service, just like each one of you young people, each one of you old people, there's a part to play in this church for each and every one of you. You've got a pastor and you've got associates. You've got other preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers. But we've got to have somebody to preach to. You may think, well, I just sit on a pew and say amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's what you need to do. That's what you're called to do. Because without people to preach to, we'll be preaching to empty pews. And that ain't no fun. Because we like a little response every once in a while. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. We look at ourselves through the mirror of His Word. We don't look like that old man from the past. When I look at myself in the mirror when I'm shaving or getting ready for work in the morning, I always say, well, my goodness, what does Sister Caitlin see in me? Because I'm uglier than a junkyard dog. But then again, I look and I begin to think and I begin to ponder. She didn't marry me for my looks. Nobody would. But she married me for what was on the inside of me. Looks fade. We get fat. Well, I was already fat. I hope I don't get no fatter. But we get out of shape and we get older. And we get things that are, just things happen to our bodies and over time. But that inside man, as we've talked about this morning, that inside man is where the character really is. That is what you young people, that's what you need to look for. You need to get your character right first, most of all. But that's what you look for in a spouse, in a loved one, is that character that is Christ-like. That character that is none other than Jesus Christ. Because what are we? We are Mrs. Jesus Christ. We are heirs with the Father. We are part of Him. And we don't want to be unequally yoked or to be this or that. I've tried dating worldly girls. It's no fun, trust me. And they were talking about it last night, and I used to date, actually before I met my wife, I dated a Baptist pastor's daughter. That was fun on Sunday mornings because I wasn't where I needed to be. So I'd say, yeah, we'll go to your church if you go to mine. And then the next Sunday it was like, well, I want to go to my church. Can we go to my church? So we'd go to her church about every other Sunday morning, and I wasn't even living right, and it freaked me out to be in there. I didn't like the way they did things. I said, this ain't right. Something deep down inside of me, even though I wasn't where I needed to be, there was something on the inside, a deep, looking for a deep to respond, and the Baptist church ain't it. None of these denominational churches is it. I found it. I finally got it to respond after searching for it. And you say, well, you said you were out drinking and stuff, but that don't mean it was right. That don't mean I didn't feel something on the inside telling me not to do it, but I did it anyway. Because I wanted to be like my friends. I wanted to be like my buddies that I hung out with all the time. Yeah, we'll go down to Buffalo Wild Wings and get some hot wings and a Coors Light. That was my thing. But I thank God that I'm sitting at a different table this evening. Amen. And I'm not drinking no Coors Light. I still eat hot wings. But I'm not drinking no Coors Light. I'm drinking the water of His Word this evening. Don't dwell on what you used to look like. I got off on a tangent there. But we're still looking in the mirror. Don't look at what you used to look like. I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to party. The past is the past. Now when you look in the mirror of His Word, you don't see Nate Green. You don't see Wade Dale. Or Luis Urrego, you see Jesus Christ. You see what you long to be for so long. Now, you know when you're young and you want to be like John Wayne or you want to be like LeBron James or I don't even keep up with it anymore much, Deshaun Watson or anybody like that. I want to be like Jesus. When I was younger, I always wanted to be a wrestler. I wanted to be big and strong, like I got the big part, but not the strong part, like a wrestler or a football player or something like that. But now, when I look in the mirror, I look like my daddy. Now, everybody tells me I look like my daddy. And you can see a bigger version of Joe Green standing up here this evening. I used to let that bother me a little bit. I don't want to look like him. I don't, I love him, but I don't want nothing to do with him. He's, you know, I want to go do my own thing. I don't want to be like Daddy. But the older I get, the more I look at, like he says, he looks at his hands and sees his daddy's hands. I look at my hands and see my daddy's hands. I look in the mirror and I see my daddy. I am my father's son. We are our father's children this evening. And we were talking last night in the Bible study about how to live a lie. I think it was in the youth thing there, that last question about living a life in front of people, being a testimony. Not just giving your testimony, but living your testimony. Amen. You want these others to come in, these girls that maybe you're interested in, or boys, whether it may be. And this is going completely different than what I thought it would, but here we are this evening. You got to be, like I think Brother Sam said it this morning, you got to be salty. You can't, like I did, and go to church with your girlfriend on Sunday morning just to please her. You're not trying to please her. You got to please God. Amen. You're not trying to please a girl just so you can take her out to Ruby Tuesdays on Friday night. Bring her to church. Bring her to, and then that's when you really get the test. She absolutely hated coming to my church. She absolutely despised it. She would do anything she could to get out of it. And I realized real quick, even though, like I said, I wasn't where I was supposed to be, that she needs to go. And probably about 2 weeks after that's when I started talking to Sister Caitlin back there. And that was almost 9 years ago. So God does all things, and He does all things well. Imagine driving down the road, going forward, but looking in your rearview mirror the whole time. What would that get you? That would get you in a world of hurt. You would, as one of my buddies used to say, you'd wake up dead. Because if you're looking back while you're moving forward, you ain't getting nowhere. The only way you're getting is 6 feet under real quick. And it's the same way in your spiritual walk. If you're trying to move forward with Christ and you're looking back at what you used to do, you ain't going nowhere. You're just pretty much treading water because you ain't going nowhere. Looking back to the past will cause a wreck in the future. Looking back on what things used to be, no matter how much better you think they were or how much nicer they were. Because I had friends when I was drinking and smoking and doing these things. And when I accepted the Lord and He come into my heart, I don't have those friends anymore. They all left me, minus one guy, my very best friend. And I believe God gives them to me just so I can be a witness to Him and have that camaraderie. He's one of my very best friends. He's a local police officer back home, been my buddy since high school. And we were, actually was in his wedding 2 years ago, and we went fishing down in Columbia, South Carolina. And his brother is a big-time drinker. This guy drinks on occasion, but his brother, he collects hard liquor and stuff like that. He's got a very large collection anyways. So he's all about the spirits, the wrong spirits. So we went and chartered a boat and went fishing. And the night before, they started drinking and carrying on. And my buddy, he stayed to the side and wouldn't drink as long as I was in the room because he respected what I stand for. He wouldn't do any of that stuff that all the other boys were doing. So I think it was about 10 o'clock or so. I said, fellas, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go, you know, read my Bible. I actually had to preach that Sunday. So I said, I'm going to go meditate a little bit. And his brother made fun of me. He said, won't you pray for me while you're in there? And I said, I will. I said, I absolutely will. And Ben, my buddy, he kind of took up for me a little bit. He said, just leave him alone. Let him do his thing. So I say all that to say this. If you have those friends and you live that life before them, they have no choice but to respect you because they see something different in you. They see that you're trying to live a life of right. They see that you're trying not to fit in, but you're trying to stand out. And even to this day, when we go out somewhere, we'll go out to dinner, we'll take our wives out to dinner. It's a place at home we always like to go. He'll never say one word to me. He'll never buy alcohol, his wife may, but that's a different story. but he'll never buy alcohol. He'll never drink. He may say a few words around me, but that's about it. He respects me enough to know what I stand for. And he's got another friend that was with us that is a deacon of a local Baptist church. And he was the drunkest one out of all of them. So you see somebody who has that revelation, as we talked about this morning, and somebody who thinks they have that revelation. It's a different ball game. It's a whole different atmosphere once you know somebody who's genuine and somebody who's playing church. And we're at a time, saints. We're at a time, young people, where playing church won't get us anywhere. We're at a time where we need to be sincere, genuine, and not let anything come between us and our heavenly home this evening. Let me go on. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I don't want my past following me. These two things right here are what I want following me. When I look back, I'm not looking back at my past. I'm looking back to make sure goodness and mercy is still there. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I want y'all to stay with me everywhere I go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not half the time. Not a quarter of the time. Not only when I think I'm doing good, but all the days of my life. That word all means all inclusive, without exception, every one. In the message Shalom, 1964, prophet of God tells us, "Now today as we face a new year, I want to think of it of not like the past, but I want to look to the future. See, as Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, I press toward the mark, see, of the high calling. And as it is expressed, like looking through the mirror of a, looking back through the mirror of a car, we're looking at what we have passed. Now we're looking into the rearview mirror. Now we're not trying to place a message today as looking through a rearview mirror. It would take too long, see. The things that the Lord has did, and you're all acquainted with the great things that our Lord has been doing, and it is some of the mightiest things that I've ever seen in my life. He's just passing in this last few months, but now we are thankful for what it has been. But now we're looking forward. We're looking where we are headed and into this 1964. Let's put that into the day. We just come into a new year. We're looking forward. We're looking into 2020. We're not looking at what should have been or what could have been in 2019. But we're looking at what is going to be in 2020. You say, "Well, I let another year get by and didn't get right with the Lord." Well, this year, this day is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let another day, don't let another minute, don't let another second get by without getting Him in your heart and in your life. Because without Him, we're just cannon fodder. Without Him, where are we, Brother Aaron? There's no place I would rather be than in Him. There's no place. I've slept in the nicest beds and all over the United States and some places around the world. Been in some of the nicest hospitals, but there's no place I'd rather be than in the arms of Jesus. If I'm in the arms of Jesus, I ain't got to worry about a hospital bed. I ain't got to worry about finding somewhere to sleep or finding somewhere to be if I'm all by myself. If I have Him, I'll never be alone. If He is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we have to realize this evening. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can't do this by ourselves. If it was just us, we'd constantly be looking back. Like I said earlier, we'd be in the car going forward, but looking back. Well, I can't get past what I used to do. I can't get past what my brother did to me 2 or 3 or 20 years ago. But look forward. Amen. Forgive and forget. Amen. He forgave us and forgot, like we said earlier. That's all we got to do is just press toward the mark of the high calling. Let everything go. Lay aside all the doubt, all the fear, all the thoughts of what was, and press on. Now, we're in close to a town of American Civil War greatness. General Longstreet's buried just right up the road. And I'm a big history buff. So I study these things. One of my favorite generals is Stonewall Jackson. You know, he got the name by standing strong in a battle. No offense, but when all the Georgia boys were running behind, they said, look to Stonewall, look to General Jackson. He's standing there as a stone wall. Even as much as in the first battle, getting his finger shot, getting his hand shot, and he stayed on his horse and told to his men, they were knelt down. He would say, rise up, press on, rise up this evening, press on. Even on his deathbed, when he was hallucinating, he thought he was still in battle, he would say, press on. I say to you, as a soldier in God's army this evening, press on. Press on. Press on, spoken word church. It won't be long. It won't be long at all until the battle is over and the victory is won. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 1. I told you we'd get to it here in a minute. Wherefore, seeing as we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, back when this scripture was wrote, I believe it was the Greeks that they were referring to. They were comparing, because the Greeks, when they ran a race, they got to a point to where they didn't have anything on at all to get in the way of those aerodynamics where they could run faster. But we have to lay aside our sin. We have to lay aside our doubts and our fears and our complexes and our anxieties and things like that, and run this race that was set before us. And it says in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He joyed in dying on the cross for our sins. It was a joy to him to go to that cross, endure the pain, suffer the shame, so that you and I wouldn't have to go through all that, so that we could be free this evening. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy pain at all. I don't enjoy any kind of little pinch or poke or anything like that. I can't stand needles. But look at Jesus. He found joy in dying for your sins. He found joy in laying down his life so that you might live. In Melchizedek, the great prince and king, Brother Branham says, maybe that's the reason some of us are not getting along so well. We're holding on to things that we ought to let go in the separation. A little doubt, a little wonder, a little skeptic. Wonder if it's right. Could this be? Could that be? How could it be? Cut loose this morning. Cut loose this evening. I know in another message, he refers to them as wandering stars. I wonder this. I wonder how I can get here. I wonder what I'm going through. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Don't worry about it. There's three phases that we all go through. We're either going into a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to start a trial. And as long as the devil is fighting you, that means he ain't got you yet. So keep fighting this evening. Don't give up. As a little song says, don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. Just follow him. Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Your past is dead in the water. It can't get back to you anymore. When Miriam and the other Israelites looked back and seen all those chariots being swallowed up by that water that they just walked through on dry land, I think I would have shouted too. I probably would have gave her a run for her money, because I'd have run all up and down the shore of the Red Sea. Why? Because I was just delivered out of the hands of those who used to beat me, who used to persecute me, who used to treat me like a dog because that's all Satan does. Don't let him flash these shiny things out in front of you like, oh, here's a nice job with a good paycheck, but you're going to have to miss church. Don't let him throw a girl out in front of you or a boy that's going to tear you away from church. That happened to me with the job at first. But then as I, like I said last night, as I began to pray and seek God, once I got right where I needed to be, I asked God, I said, Lord, please put me in a job or put me in a position within my job to where that I'll be able to go to church. And it didn't take long. But this all happened within a span of a year, maybe less. And I wasn't making good money. I just couldn't get on a shift to where I could be at church. It's not that I didn't want to be there. Sometimes I didn't want to be there. But oftentimes it was just because of the shift that I had to work. I couldn't, and I would sleep all day and miss the morning service too on Sunday. But that's neither here nor there. Don't let anything stand between you and your walk with God. In Israel, in the church, number four, says, look what Moses done, raised his hand there and sang in the Spirit. And Miriam got a tambourine and began to dance and jump up and down and praise God. And the daughters of Israel following her, dancing and praising God and shouting, hallelujah. They crossed over the sea. All the old taskmasters was back dead there in the sea. They looked back and said, boy, you'll never bother me no more. Oh my, burnt the bridges all over. Ready to go now, journeying on. Now they say, can we take it? Sure we can take it. Why? God said so.
That's it.
And remember, God promised to supply their needs.
Amen.
Can we make it to the end of this run? Sure we can.
Amen.
Why? God said so. That's not just for the Israelites. That's for these Georgians, these for North Carolinians, the bride of Christ.
Amen.
We can make it because He said so.
Right.
And that last deal there, that last sentence, God promised to supply their needs. God has promised to supply your needs. I believe it's in the message, God's Medicine Box, where He talks about the brass serpent that they prayed to or they looked to and were healed. We've got a medicine box this evening. It's this right here. 66 books full of promises.
Amen.
Full of things, of different medications, as it were, that we would need. Whatever it may be, whether it be deliverance, whether it be financial stability, whether it be this, whether it be that, there's a promise for that in here. There's a prescription for that in here. You know, I had to go to the doctor the other day, and he gave me a prescription and said, I want you to take this for such and such a long period of time. Now, what would that have done if I set it on the shelf and not took it? Yes, I believe God could heal me without medicine, but even the prophet says God heals through medicine. It's the same way with this word. We know the promise is in there. He's gave it to us.
That's right.
But if we don't open the book and ingest it, what good is it?
Right.
Just like a medicine on a shelf, after a while it may expire. These prescriptions never expire.
Right.
They're always good. No matter if you have one thing here and you don't have another thing for 20 years, go back and look at that prescription or that promise for what you have need of for that moment in time. And it'll be there, just ready, waiting for you to take Him at His word. Don't look back. Don't give up the promise or that touch, that healing or deliverance or whatever it is that you received. Keep pressing on. In life's story, He says, each one of you is a Christian. You are a born-again Christian. Then let's stand up. No matter how bad the background has been, let's look forward. Each one of you is a Christian this evening. So let's stand. I'm done. Let's stand and confess what we've been talking about for the past little bit. Stand on those promises this evening. Whatever it is you have need of, whatever it is that you're facing, look forward. There's a story of a few little boys that were riding across a plank across a big ravine. And each one of them, they'd go one right after the other and they'd all fall off to the left or the right. But the last little boy that came across, he made it all the way to the other end. And he won a new bicycle. I think that was the prize. And they all asked him, how in the world did you make it and we all fell? He said, I wasn't looking to the left or to the right or behind me. I was looking towards the other end. I was looking towards the finish line. And that's how we made it. That's how we got to make it this evening. We got to look towards the finish line. Press towards the mark of the high calling. Press on tonight, Spoken Word Church. Press on, brothers and sisters. It won't be very long. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father. God, how we've poured out our hearts this evening. No matter how simple it may have been, Lord, I pray that it be a blessing to somebody here in our midst this evening. God, just a little encouragement to press on, to look forward, and not look back. God, we're all guilty of times looking back and thinking, why can't I get where I'm going? Is it such and such? Is it this? Is it that I did way back when? But then you come down, Lord, through a simple little message like this, maybe no matter if I'm preaching or Brother Wade or Brother Sam or one of these other brothers, I just encourage your people to look forward. Don't worry about what's behind you. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give out. And don't give in. I'm following you, God. That's all I know how to do, Lord, is to follow you and take you at your word. God, I ask that you bless this people this evening. Bless the pastor, bless the associate pastor and all the other minister brothers and the laity, Lord, the deacons, the trustees. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. God, we're thankful for this young people, this youth service this evening. Father, it does our hearts good to see these young people praising you, Lord. When they could be out other places, God, but they want to be here, Lord. They want to lift up your name. They want to lift up praises to you on high, Father. And God, as we prepare to go our separate ways, Lord, I ask that you keep them, Lord, here in this little assembly, Lord, and keep us as we travel home, Father. Until we meet at the next appointed time, Lord, if we don't meet again on this side, I'll see them in a rapture. We thank you for it, Father. We commit the service into your hands, Lord. We'll be careful to serve you. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Must be in the back. If you have a need, let's sing a song, brother.
What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. 585. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Seen our brother grow up and out, but he's grown up in God. You can see that. If you can't see that, then we're just all blind. But thank God that he sent us a message. And then he sent us messengers to preach the message. And a group of people to receive it. So we thank God for the youth. If you have a need, just sing a song.
Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Because we better start thinking about the rapture. Because
right.
It's coming.
Amen.
So let's sing.
I am
thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, picture of a bride and a groom. Right there. Smiling faces, married, gonna have a baby, and both of them serving the Lord. It can be done. God puts examples in every generation. And He put it in this generation right here. We didn't know Sister Caitlin much in her when she was growing up, but we've known Nate since he was just a little boy. He was little at one time. A little boy. But I thought we'd just pray for him. Pray for the health of the baby. Pray for the health of the mama. And pray for the health of the husband. That he'll be strong. And that they'll both. Sister Caitlin's a teacher too. So she'll be teaching on up, you know. And you know, be out during the pregnancy. Or when she has the baby. But we're going to pray for him, if you don't mind. I just felt led that we'd just. He's poured out his heart to us. And you know what? As he poured his heart out. Sitting back there, I could see Caitlin, and she'd smile because she knew the things. She knew her husband. I'm telling you this for an example. She knew her husband. She knew what she almost knew what he was fixing to say before he said it. Now, see, that's the bride in Christ. The bride in Christ has got to come to a place to where we know, and then he knows how we feel. We know how he feels. It's a communion like we were talking about yesterday. But let's bow our heads. Let's pray for him before we dismiss. Thank you all for coming. God bless you. God bless our brother back there from Columbia that Brother Luis knows. Welcome anytime, brother. God bless your heart. I wish you'd come back and see us again. We appreciate you. Oh, that your daughter playing the instrument, that's wonderful. We love to see families together. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads and let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you very much, like I said, for coming. All the work you did yesterday, the food and the time, it will never, ever be forgotten. And not in this world or the world to come. You say, well, maybe we didn't have the altar full of people. All we got to see is one person touched. And that's worth 1,000 worlds. 10,000 worlds, as Brother Luis in his podcast. 10,000 worlds, one soul. Amen. And you can't put a price, Brother John. Can't put a price on a soul that's been touched by God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've seen our brother and sister, Lord, grow up in you. Lord, now I pray, Lord, as he stands behind this sacred desk and brings the word of God, that his wife, Lord, will be caught up into that atmosphere, Lord, and that they two together will, from now on, Lord, that they'll live a closer life to you, number one, and then live a closer life to each other. Father, we thank you for the union that's produced, Lord. This child is fixing to be born in several months. We pray that you would just, your tender hand would be over them, that you would protect them on the highways, protect them, Lord, in the things they do, their job. Protect them from sickness. Protect them from this world, Father, because we know Satan will try everything he can. But I like what Brother Nate said, you know. You put it in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You put it in your own sea, and then Satan tries to dig it out. There you throw that big banner that's dripping with blood that says, no fishing allowed. Thank God. Our past is gone. Amen. And now we look forward. And our forward is that Brother Nathaniel and Sister Caitlin will have a wonderful life together. We love them with all of our heart. And we thank you for them, the family and what they stand for. Thank you for this family here, the church family at Spoken Word Church, for all the ones that have taken, had an effort for these young children, Lord, and the young adults. We pray that you would bless us today and sanctify us on our journey. Be with them as Brother Nate and Sister Caitlin as they go home, traveling on the highways, that you'll give them traveling mercy, Father. Forgive us of our sins and bless us, Lord. Thank you till we come back together in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.